Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
It's Mother's Day. If you are a mother, would you please stand up in this room? Yeah, we want to honor you this morning. God bless you. Yes. I'll let you know after the message. We have a little gift for all of you who are mothers, and I'll make you aware of that a little later. But being Mother's Day, I got to tell you that of all the Sundays that or holiday Sundays, or Sundays that are dictated by the calendar and our culture as being thematic, I want you to know that this Sunday, above all Sundays, makes me the most uncomfortable to speak. because on the other thematic Sundays, I'm just average in my knowledge and understanding of those things. But when it comes to motherhood, I'm only the recipient of a mother. And I can talk about how my mother has impacted my life. I am also an observer of my wife, who is also the mother of my our four children. So I get to observe, and I'm closely tied into that. But as much as I can be the recipient, and as much as I can observe and be involved in, to the extent a man can be, I am. But I will never really know. And so when I come this morning and share some of these things, I understand that I have a limited scope. It might be a good scope and it might have good information, but I just don't know what it is. And that's usually the case why I have someone other than me speak on Mother's Day. But for whatever reason, this year, I am stepping into that place of challenge. So as mothers, if you would just be gracious to me as I look at the scripture and share some things this morning, because some of what I'm going to share, I want you to know you don't have to be a mother to recognize it. And so I'm going to share about some of those principles. And it's not going to be a morning where I read scripture and tell all the rest of us in this room how great you are and how we need to honor you. We already know that. But I'm going to share some things that will pertain to all of us in our understanding of motherhood. And maybe, just possibly, the Holy Spirit will use some of these things this morning to speak directly to mothers. Because there is a measure that our culture and our society is robbing you. And it's not just them robbing you, it's how it has affected our mindset and crept in, maybe even into our Christianity, about motherhood and motherhood's high calling and motherhood's high purpose and motherhood's value. And where was this desire, these maternal desires, where did they come from? And how do we live with them in understanding these desires within, and I'll say us, meaning you as women, where those desires came from, and how we have to be careful that those desires are not squelched or looked down on. Because there has been a move in our society for some time, in our culture here in America, to rob and cause you to look upon that desire as something that's second rate or something that's oppressive. And it can work its way into our mindset, even as Christian people. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Before I do, I want to maybe just share with you a couple of quotes. Here's a great quote. Love this quote. Don't even have to read it. Got it memorized. I know what you're thinking. Well, it must be short. Yes. Do you know why grandparents and grandchildren get along so well? Because they have the same enemy, the mother. I just thought that was cute. Here's another one. To nourish children and raise them against odds is any time, any place more valuable than to fix bolts in cars or design nuclear weapons. Of all the things that we do. Women do not have to sacrifice personhood if they are mothers. They do not have to sacrifice motherhood in order to be persons. Liberation was meant to expand women's opportunities, not limit them. The self-esteem that has been found in new pursuits can also be found in mothering. If you bungle, and this isn't just for mothers, if you bungle raising your children, I don't think whatever else you do well matters very much. You know, it's an interesting perspective because, you know, we can do really well out in our jobs or occupations, whatever they are. But while you're there, you can carry the heartache of what is difficult or what you've lost in the relationship with your child. I know this. I don't have to be a mother to know this. It might be a little differently, but I know this. Because the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter what goes on in the occupation. When you come home and your children put their arms around you or say affectionate things to you, you know what? The occupation is the occupation, and it matters, and it's important. But coming home to that, it just overwhelms that which was difficult. Doesn't matter what we do out there, and I don't mean it doesn't matter. It's just in comparison, the priority of what's important. I mean, I know I'm a pastor, and every day is filled with God and His awesome presence and awesome Christians, and you know, I just don't have any troubles. Because you're just, you know, you're so easy to pastor. And everyone's perfect here.
That's right.
And I live in a perfect community, and they're all Christians. And, you know, I just live in this wonderful, insulated bubble. When things go rough that day, or things are challenging that day, or difficulty, whatever it is, and I'm not going to give you examples of those things in my life of pastoring, but when I come home and I can, you know, see my children, and one comes home from work and says, work was well and went with this and da-da-da, and thank you, Daddy, I love you, and, oh, honey, do you need more gas money? No, I'm okay. That's sweet. And go to maybe my next daughter and say, how did rehearsal go? And how's this? And how's that? And, how, you know, what's going on? And how's the friends? And there's a difficulty here. Yeah, but I love you, Daddy. And, you know, I'll rub your back later. So good. And come to another daughter who is busy and active and telling me about relationships, and she's got this going on, she's got the job, and she had a rehearsal, and you know, she tells me that she loves me more than the stars, because that's our phrase. Now it's just more than the stars. One day she was telling me, I love you more than the stars. And I looked at her and I said, I love you more than dirt. And so now I just say more than dirt. And she knows what that means. That's our little thing. And look at my son almost in the eyes now. And, you know, first things first. Hey, son, how did golf go? How's golf doing? How's practice? Okay, second. Okay, how was school? Okay, got that out of the way. You know, how's homework? Love you. I'll tell you what. I don't hear this too often, but I can face whatever I face that day and be out in public somewhere in this community with people around and have my children and my son. You know, you might expect it from girls maybe with their dad, but hear it from my girls, but from my son. He can be standing on the putting green with all his golf buddies, and I had to drop off a club that I forgot to bring or something. I'm walking away, and I can hear from him, hey, Dad, I love you. With no embarrassment, not even a second thought. It's just natural and normal, and I just, you know, it doesn't matter what happens during the day when you have that. And I'm just so grateful. You don't have to be a mother to know it, but the point of that quote is, if you bungle up raising your kids, doesn't matter what else you do in life that's well or has a challenge, it just doesn't seem to matter very much. And I know that I'm grateful. I'm not out of the woods. We're not done raising our kids. We're grateful so far, but it hasn't been without some bumps on the chin and some challenges and difficulties and disagreements. But you know, it's just something about remembering what's important. Mothers, fathers, it's remembering what's important. Another quote. I looked on child rearing not only as a work of love and duty, but as a profession that was fully as interesting and challenging as any honorable profession in the world, and one that demanded the best that I could bring to it. By the way, some of these quotes, most of these quotes are from women, from mothers. Here's one more. Being a full-time mother is one of the highest salaried jobs since the payment is pure love. So that whole salary thing, you forget it. I want to read to you from Titus chapter 2. I want you to know that with what my wife does in mothering, if I was a financially resourceful person, I still could not afford to pay her what she does, and that's the truth. Couldn't afford to pay my mom what she did and what she still does. It's an interesting thought as you're turning to Titus chapter 2. You know, it's an interesting thought because to me it's just a thought. I have no idea what it's like to have a person grow inside me and to have this little person grow inside me and move, yes, within a parameter, but to move independently. I don't know what it is to wake up at night because I've got a foot pushing against my rib from the inside. And that this child is going to come from my body. I have no idea. I was there for the birth of all four of my children. I saw them come out. All of you. You were ugly. I'm kidding. There's a couple of you. I'll tell you what my dad said, and he wasn't there for my birth. He waited in the other room. You know, tough guy. Waited in the other room. Looked at me because I was so big and my mom was so petite. Um, My head was cone-shaped. And my dad looked at me, and Pat looked at me and said to the doctor, "No, his head's not going to stay like that, is it?" No wisecracks. It's changed a little. But to think about something within you that grows and is going to come out of your body and then comes out of your body and then is now totally, completely dependent upon you, even for its nourishment. And then to care for this child on their own schedule. And you try to bring them into yours. And all of the body changes, the psychological changes that go on in this woman. To be excited for one moment that you have life within you and it's growing, and then yet the understanding that, oh my goodness, this has to come out. And to want to dress up this child and care for this child and provide for this child and help them and develop and discover and to all this, and then to know that you're one day going to say goodbye to them. I mean, I get little glimpses, and some of that I understand in the way of saying goodbye, which I've not had to do yet. But I don't know what that other stuff is like. I mean, I know what it is to go through some of the challenges of being with infants, and, you know, I know what it is to change a couple of diapers. See, I didn't say I did it all. Couple. I just don't understand that. There's something about you as a mother that is so unique and so different than us as men or fathers or sons and daughters that we don't quite understand yet. In Titus chapter 2, verse 4, start with verse 3. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers and addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. And it's not that we're focusing on that phrase. But then verse 4, then they can train younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, to be pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men, and goes into another teaching for them, standards, quality of character. The word where it talks about the loving of their children, it's a word there in Greek. We've heard the word phileo, but it's phileotechnos. It's a special kind of mother's love is what's referred to there in that scripture. In our English language, we use love synonymously with different meanings, and we're kind of left to interpret it by living in the culture and trying to catch and understand it. They actually use different words for all the aspects of love. And the love that is mentioned there is about this special mother's love, a special mother's love, the kind of love that a mother provides and gives to a child that says, I am going to give to you because right now I am going to prefer you. I am going to care for you. I am going to nurture you. I am going to sacrifice for you. And I am going to affectionately embrace you while I meet your needs. That's the kind of love. That whole description is just found in that one word when it talks about how they're supposed to love their children. I want to share with you a few, four biblical words or phrases that talk about, and these are not limited to mothers only because it's included in the scripture and these references to mothers and fathers. One is availability. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're not going to read these, I'm just going to give you the reference. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it talks about how a parent is supposed to be available and have availability morning, noon, and night. And if you who are just bringing a baby home and they've got their days and nights mixed up and you are up through the night and you think, I can't wait till they get on my schedule, I want you to know that they'll begin to get on your schedule until they become teenagers. Then it changes again. It changes again. And it's not just the day and night hours. It's I want you to know that they're usually willing and open and able to talk and wanting to talk when you're wanting to sleep. But that is as important. Understand, when that time comes, for those of you who are parents who don't have teenagers yet, when that time comes, you've got to look at that moment, especially mothers, you will grasp this, moms. Dads need to be involved in this. Is you need to look at that as like when they were an infant and you had to get up in the middle of the night to feed them. You would never think of not getting up in the middle of the night if your baby needed to be fed. You would never think of not getting up to feed them. You just do it. I want you to know when they become teens, it's the same. You've got to look at that moment of sharing and talking as if you were going to have to breastfeed them. Another word, involvement. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about this. It talks about the involvement to the point of processing life together. Not just dictating life to them, but processing life together. Discussion, interaction, the sharing of thoughts to bring them and lead them into biblical principles. Another word is training. Proverbs chapter 22 talks about it. Help a child discover and develop strength. Isn't that one of the greatest things as a parent that we really are able to do? Is watch them and help them discover and then develop strengths, whether it's character or skill set or talent. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing to watch this happen in your child. You don't have to wait till they start to kind of become their own person, older, you know, middle of grade school or whatever. They're starting to do it before then. They're starting to do things. It's the development and the innocence of a child and their concept, and they begin to discover. My niece, just 2 days ago, my mother and father went over to visit my brother and his family, and they were going to do a race, a big 6K race. They had 10K, 6K, different classifications, and then my dad finally whittled it down to a 3-mile walk. And so my brother said, all right, I'll do it with you. Because my brother, he's run marathons and done this kind of stuff. He's the slender one. And they were talking about doing this race. And it was explained that my brother and my dad were going to walk this race together. And their little daughter, Audrey, my niece, looked at them and said, oh, you guys are going to walk that race together? Are you going to hold hands? The innocent development and understanding and the discovery of life, it's so fun to be a part of. Another thing it talks about is modeling with integrity. The Bible talks about it. Proverbs chapter 10, Psalm 37. And it always talks about, and it talks about, these verses I'm giving you, is the context of parenting, motherhood and fatherhood. The models of integrity. And it's what a child learns by catching the essence of godly living. It's not just what you tell them. It's how you live and what you do. They catch it. You're instructing all the time, and it's not that your child's just, they just miss school so much they're running around the house taking notes after you in the off hours. It's just stuff they catch, they hear, they watch, they notice. It's what they learn by catching the essence of what godly living is about. Mothers, fathers too, but I know it's Mother's Day. Mothers, this is so crucial. You are the one who has bore them into this world and have fed them and cared for them. And there's that imprinting that's going on between and bonding between you and that child. It does not quit when they start to dress themselves and walk on their own. They are catching things all the time. It's just the way we are. Proverbs 14 talks about a woman is supposed to invest in her home. Proverbs 31, we know it as the noble wife or the woman of great character. And it talks in there a little bit about motherhood, not just about being a wife. And it talks about this woman who has such a balanced life. And you know what? She did some things outside the home. But she was always investing in the home. And as you look through her balanced life, everything she did, whether it was in the home or outside of the home, it never took away from family. Never did. Her family did not suffer because of anything she did. Our culture has, as I mentioned, robbed us, and thievery has gone on over this whole idea of motherhood. And I want to talk to you a little bit about this desire to be a mother. You were given a desire to be a mom. I know that there's been rough days where you've wondered, oh my goodness, you know, what was I thinking? I wasn't. And that's in moments of weariness, being tired, in our mindset sometimes of I was taken advantage of and I ran myself down, and I understand. But there has been a desire within you to be a mother. And I want to talk about that desire because that's where our culture and the world and the enemy of our soul has tried to just get us a little off the mark. It's about this desire to be a mother. See, it's not just about, when I say the desire in the context this morning for desire to be a mother, it's not that I want to have a baby. It's not I want to have a child and I want to give birth to a child. It's not just that desire, it's the desire not only to have a baby, but the desire of motherhood and the maternal gifting within you is way beyond just having a baby, and the desire to add to your life here. And, you know, this is not like I want to have a pet. It's beyond I want to have a child to the point of I have desires within me not only to have a child, but the desires within me are to nurture and care and raise a child. That's the context of the desire of motherhood. That's what we want to talk about. You see, though there are those who fight for women's progress, and too often it's misconstrued about motherhood. They're trying to take steps forward and progress women. I don't want you to walk up because you're going to misunderstand some things if you think I'm just, you know, up here standing saying, you know, a woman's place is in the home and she should be barefoot and she should be pregnant and she should be doing all the work in the house. No. You can wear shoes. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, it's that those who have tried to progress women have missed something because in doing so, they have taught us something, that you can squelch the desire, the maternal desire. Then if you want children and you let this maternal desire come from you, that you're a throwback. That it's an excuse. Use it for an excuse not to go out and succeed at something. It's seen as a self-curtailment of potential. Oh, but you're so gifted and you could do so much more and you could do this and you could do that, but, you know, you're busy mothering. As if somehow, some way, that is a bad thing. It's said in a connotation that kind of sends this little subtle ripple effect into our mind. That, mothering's not that important. Look what you could be. And those who champion for motherhood, I want you to know that they misconstrue it a little bit too, because what they have sold us is motherhood is great and motherhood is good. After all, come on, ladies, it's about serving. And I want you to know that it's true. There's a measure of truth in it, but it's a little misconstrued in the sense that it's such a narrow focus. Do you understand that the desire to put within a woman, the desire for the maternal, not just to have a baby, but to raise and nurture and love this child, do you understand that desire that was put within you has come from God? It is from Him that it has come to you. It was from Him who has put it into you. Now, not every woman runs around with this great maternal instinct to have a child, but those who have it, that it's been given to, it has been given to you by God. And it doesn't mean that all through your childhood years you're just thinking about being a mommy. You might, but one day it's like it fills up to the point where it's open and God releases it. And here is this desire within you to have a baby and to raise and nurture. And yeah, you're going to serve. And yeah, there's going to be rough days. But understand, no gifting, no skill set, no potential. No profession is more of a high calling than that which God has put as a desire and an institute into place within you. Sometimes the scope has been narrow for mothers, and we've bought into it, you know, raise one's child or children and have one husband and serve one God, and it's been this narrow. Do you understand that God's giving you that desire, and do you know He wants you to enjoy the desire? He wants your desire to be satisfied, to be gratified, to find in it such fulfillment. That's what He has for you. That's why He's put it within you. God didn't put the desire for you to have a baby so that you could run around and be a slave all your life and you can feel oppressed. Understand that those who are trying to champion women's causes are downplaying the maternal desire. They're missing the ball. And those who champion motherhood, they hit a piece of the ball, but they try to tell you it's just about service and it's this high calling. I want you to understand that the desire came from God, and it's about satisfying this desire. It's about what makes a woman. Do you understand that this desire is about, when it's satisfied, this is about what makes a woman happy? There's been a strange taboo that goes on, and it's against wanting to mother. It's this new inhibition. It's to deprive or deny this maternal desire within women, as if it's second rate or it's some excuse, or it curtails your ability to achieve. And you know what? It's crept into the church. I've watched it because I deal with enough families and with mothers, and it creeps out, and some of the things they say and some of the phrases they use, and you pick up on its flavor. You've been standing in the grocery line thumbing through magazines. They've discovered something about women who have gone through a period of their adult life who had maternal desires. For women who had maternal desires, they've discovered something. That when they were given bought into this idea of, you know, denying the maternal, the maternal gifting and desire that God has put within you. And that when you deny it, and you suppress it, and you put other things as the priority, They found out for women like that, the only way that many of them, not all of them, have overcome the damages that it has caused them is they had to go through a very long battle of some type of mental and psycho type of therapy. That's what they've discovered. All because they bought into something about denying the maternal desire within. And you know what? It's messed them up. Up here. Men, it's happened to us too, and we have different issues. But that's what happened for many of these women. See, it's about the maternal desire that is felt by a woman. Not the desire that's derived because of the need of a child. Uh-uh. It's about the desire within a woman as a mother to want to meet the need. Not I have to. It's not because you have the need. It's that I have this desire within me to meet it. To satisfy you. To gratify you. Do you understand? And the idea of freedom, true freedom, is not about being released from responsibilities. It's about understanding what the desire is and allowing that desire to operate as a God-gift desire and an appropriate desire. In the context of motherhood, if you want to know what's going to bring a woman freedom who has maternal desires, is allowing those desires to be fulfilled. That's freedom. And a woman who grasps that and understands it, she never looks at motherhood as being trapped. She's in touch with the desire to be a mommy, to be a mom, mummy, mom, ma. Hey, you. And they know what it means. See, the worldly concept is that those who have a child minimize their desire to nurture this child. And what they do is they begin to set up their lives. Get this. Mothers, they have this desire to have a child and raise and nurture a child, but they're, even though they're going to have this child, they are starting to set up their life so that after the baby is born, they come back home and they think life is going to return to normal. Because you've bought into something. You have bought into that being a mommy, being a mother, the maternal desire is something that, you know, holds you back from becoming someone great. And so you have this child and you satisfy some of the maternal desire. But then you come home and you think life's going to return to normal. You have it all set up. You got your schedule. You got your nursery set up. You got the plan. You got, you know, and you're going to have your little maternal break. And then, you know, everything's going to be back the way it was. I want you to hear something. It's not that it's not possible. It's that it's normal. What was normal before is not normal now. Normal is something different. And women and husbands, I need to remember that. Oh, man, I needed to remember it when I was a young father. Normal changed. Return home with this baby and you want to return to normal. Understand that the maternal desire is a positive aspect. It's a positive desire. It's not something that's second rate. It was given to you by God. It was placed within your soul by His very Spirit. You don't move backwards by embracing motherhood. It's a huge step forward. It's a huge step forward in discovering who you are. See, there's a concept that when you become a mother, you totally lose yourself. Now, wait a minute. If the desire was put within you, and it is part of the fabric of who you are, and now that you have a child, not just born to you, but one you're nurturing and raising because of the maternal desires, how in the world is that losing yourself? And that understanding In the biblical understanding, it's part of you finding your meaning, your purpose, your calling, the satisfaction of desire being fulfilled. Maybe there's never a truer model of self. You know, you've been sold a bill, and we've all bought in on it, about if you're a mother, it's self-sacrifice. Guaranteed, you're going to sacrifice. But hear this. It is not sacrificing yourself. It is the fulfillment of a desire to be a mom. You will sacrifice things, guaranteed. But it is not self-sacrifice. It is not that you lost yourself because you're a mommy. It's not that you're just, you know, changing diapers and you're a dairy factory and you're cleaning and you're the maid and you're this and you're... The demands are great. No one will argue. But it's not losing yourself. It was a maternal desire to nurture and care for children. Your children. It is freeing to discover desire within you and allow that desire to be met. You and I need to have a change of mind and discover, rediscover what motherhood is and the maternal desire put within you and the nobility of it and the freedom of it, the satisfaction of it. I know, oh yeah, you think you know what you're talking about, Pastor. Yeah, you wait till you have three kids around you and one's this and one's that and there's food all over and you're just a spit-up rag. That's your outfit every day. I know about those days. I don't know what it is to be in your shoes. I don't know what it is to be in my wife's shoes. I only know what it was to be in my shoes and come home and be a part of that and watch it and wear it and to want to help and not always know what to help. See, there's something of an intrinsic value, an expression of authentic self that's found in motherhood. And if we don't discover that, we're fighting against our maternal desire, thinking our culture has fed us something else, and this is what I should be, and yet I have to be this. And all of a sudden you have this inner turbulence. It's this war, it's this fight, and it's because we have gotten away from the understanding of God-given desire to be a mom. It's seemingly mundane repetition. You play, you clean up, you feed, you connect, you relax, ha-ha. You endure boredom, you get mad, you get frustrated, you feel sorry for yourself, you compromise, you sacrifice. But in the middle of all this, understand something. That there is a huge communication that is going on. And I don't care how young your child is, because they're catching this. Because we were made to catch it. We were made to feel it. We were made to understand it. And it comes without words. That in the middle of that kind of day and that kind of life, you are communicating something, moms. You are communicating a monumental truth. And it's this. It is the message of what is important and what is valuable in life. That they are valuable. And that they are the ones that you love. And when it's done begrudgingly, and it's done with a turbulence inside, and it's done with a misunderstanding of a God-given desire, and yet you hear the call of the culture or the role of society or your own expectations, and we forget about the God-given desire to be a mom, we send another message. And they catch it. It's nothing we say. It's all the pulses we give that are invisible but they're caught. They're very real. Message of what's valuable in life. We give the message of what's possible and what the limitations are of an intimate relationship. That's the message we give, all of us, to our children, but specifically this morning, moms. It's the pleasure of being alone together. It's the pleasure of doing things near each other. It's the pleasure of nearness even while you're doing your own thing. I don't know, as a kid, I remember it was a wonderful, safe thing. And I was the first of four, so I was alone for a while. And then one of my sisters came. But it was wonderful to be able to be out in the living room, bouncing up and down on my horse in front of the window with my cowboy hat on, or run down the hallway with my Batman cape and mask on. And to know that my mom was near me, that she's there. The gratification of watching that child grow and develop, the change, being involved in the person they're becoming. I'm starting to just get glimpses of that, and more, because my children, I don't have to do all the thinking for them, and I don't have to. They are their own persons. They were little, they were becoming that, but now I get to enjoy the friendship with them, and they're still my children. I'm still their dad and their mom. It's just, you watch the grow and development, and now you get to be a part of who they are as a person. That doesn't come when we confuse the desires to be a mother, and we suppress it or make it small or belittle it in the light of what we think we should be or what we want to become. I want you to know the feminists have formed a drudgery unfairly allotted to women. The day-to-day mothering places an unreasonable and unjust demand on women. That's what they sell you. And it oppresses women based upon their gender. This is what they don't understand. I want to tell you, so I want to make this clear. This is what they do not understand. They do not understand that motherhood is not a deficiency or an inhibition. It's a maternal desire to be a mom, not just have a child, but to mother them and nurture them. That's part of your desire, not just because they need it. It's because it's a desire within you, and that's what you want to be. That's what you want to be for them. The inner desire of creating an atmosphere. You know, in the middle of that, there's irritation and there's fatigue. A lot of it. But there's another intrinsic thing. That even though you deal with irritation and fatigue, there's the intrinsic value of overcoming these states of mind, overcoming them in the process of mothering. There is something that is right when you know that your desire is being fulfilled, and yes, there's conflict along the way, but once a conflict is resolved and you weathered it and gone through it, you get to look back, not gloating, but say, you know what? This is good. This is right. I'm being a mom. And God's helping me, and I'm accomplishing it. There's a value in that. There's a satisfaction in that. That my desire is being satisfied. That God has given me, and He's helping me. Now, I want to say something here in wrapping up. I want to say something to the supermoms. Because the supermoms have a fantasy. They have a fantasy that if they work harder, and they do it all everything right, that they won't lose anything. Nothing will be lost. I can be the perfect mom. I can be the perfect wife. I can be the perfect church person. I can be the perfect community person. I can still fit in my size 2 dress. I can go to the club and work out. I can still have a full-time job. And the list goes on. And if I do it all right, nothing will be lost. That's the super mom. That's not the godly mom. That's the super mom. Listen, the market has fed into this. Hey, why do you think these recipe books sell so great? 10-minute meal. 10-minute workout. You know you're falling into the super mom mentality when your child is starting to learn to tie their shoe. And it takes a long time for them to get it, but they're getting it and they want to do it on their own. And they're just taking too long. Come on! Because the super mom, what she does is she has a warped sense. A warped sense of what time is available. Because she has to do it all, and it's all got to be right. And if I can do it, nothing will be lost. Listen, the market is feeding you, and you keep buying into it. Why do you think they came out with Velcro shoes for children? It wasn't for the children. It was for you and for me. So we could not be losing anything and hurry and come on. You got sixth graders, you can't tie a bow. See, the previous ideal of a woman is a woman who lost herself in mothering. She loses her identity. She's gone. She's hopefully one day when the kids are gone, she can recover. That was the previous mentality, and now the mentality that's being sold is this new ideal that a woman can do it all and she doesn't have to lose herself in mothering. Understand, when it's a God-given desire, you're not losing yourself in mothering. You're actually getting to find out who you are, and the desire's filled, and there's satisfaction, and there's gratification. And you know what? You got time for your kids to learn how to tie their shoe. How many of you get impatient being at the grocery store or wherever you do your groceries, and if you have to wait, you know, close to 5 minutes? How many of you like that? It irritates you. You hate it. I remember as a kid when I would go grocery shopping with my mom and my dad, when they went to line with their two carts, heaped, and waited. That was our chance. That was our chance. We knew where our parents were. They weren't moving, and we knew we could run around the grocery store for 20 minutes. That was our. And now, close to five, we're going, come on, why aren't they opening more lanes? I got to get all those. I got to fit it all in. Affects our perception of time. Mothers, it affects your perception of time. You better break out of super mom. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm going to speak to the super moms, and I'm going to speak to you maybe sternly, and you can tell me I'm all wet and I don't know what I'm talking about. You can say what you want. But you know what? There are some things you're doing that just aren't important. And your kids are going to catch it. They're going to catch it. And you've let Super Mom Magazine tell you how you can do it all without losing anything. The only way that you can do it without losing yourself is understanding the God-given desire to be a mom. And understand the nobility of it. And not just the nobility as a prize, but discovering who you are because it's a desire put within you that is satisfied. That God wants satisfied for your joy, for meaning, for purpose, for delight. I don't know what it is to lose. I mean, there's another thing for Supermom. I don't know what it is to lose my figure of yesteryear past because of a child. I don't have that excuse. I lost my figure because I'm a pig. have the excuses. You know what? Listen to me. Who is telling you? Who is telling you, Supermom, that you're going to find all your self-esteem in fitting into a size 2 or less? I am not telling you that you shouldn't take care of yourself. And I'm not telling you that you shouldn't lose your baby, some of your baby fat. Not your baby fat, but the baby you had and the fat they left. I am not telling you that you shouldn't lose some. I'm not telling you you shouldn't take care of yourself. Of course. But Supermom doesn't want to lose. She gets all her self-image from all and the self-satisfaction and how she feels about herself. Why she's suppressing the desire that was given her, where she will find fulfillment as a mother and as a woman who understands God's desires put within her. There's some things you're going to have to just say no to. I'll tell you how super moms, and this bleeds over into super dads and young families. I'm going to tell you something. I know what I'm talking about in this one. This one I'll know what I'm talking about. I know what it is to have 4 children. I know what it is to have 3 children in diapers at one time. One of them was out of them. We had 4. 3 were in. And I know what it is to make church on Sunday morning. I know what it is that you think you got them all out and you got car seats coming out of your windows. And I know what it is to grab the last one and you're on your way out and you get a whiff of something.
Yeah, amen.
And they're waiting in the car. And I'll take care of this one. And it wasn't just a whiff. It's like change the outfit. You know, you got one now, you just got both their shoes on, you're grabbing this, when you turn around, they got one of their shoes off. You're trying to get somewhere, and you're trying to, all this, and then you come to church, and you complain about the church's schedule. Well, why can't it be at this time, and why can't it be at that time? Doesn't the church know that they're there for me, and they're supposed to run according to my individual schedule? Let me tell you something. You think it's demanding being a volunteer? Be hired by the church and have 4 babies. And then it's the expectation is there. There's no longer being a volunteer. I know what it is to be late. I actually know what it is to sit in the nursery. Not a lot, but I did it. My wife can tell you way more than I can, because while I'm flying in and looking like super staff pastor, you know, she's walking in and looking great, and the kids are there, and they got their little flowery dresses on, not you. There's a story that goes behind all of that. But the pastor never changed the schedule because, listen, man, I got 4 little kids and, you know, and can't we start here and can't we send there and can't we? It was pack them up. And you know what they caught? They caught, try to be on time, and if you're late, be in there. Be there. And let's go and let's serve and let's praise and let's pray and let's. I have a little less hair, but I survived. Super moms, there's some things you're just going to have to say no to. Because you're losing yourself while you're trying to keep it all. But if you discover, all of you as mothers, you discover the God-given desire to be maternal. And that desire you embrace and it's satisfied. You know what? It's fulfilling. There's days of great joy. You feel like there's not light at the end of the tunnel. You need to get focused on the light of Christ and the desire is put within you. and understand purpose and meaning and embrace it. This is not secondhand. This is not throwback. This is not, well, I just got to go through this stage of life and I can't wait till it's over so I can be me. You better discover and find who you are by the God-given desires placed within you, moms, and especially you young moms. You can say, I'm a man, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to tell you something. On this particular part, I know what I'm talking about. That's not an arrogance. I'm just telling you. Recognize the battles within you. And I'll tell you how you recognize them. It's called the school or the science of desire. Recognize God's given desires within you. Study the desire. Know the desire. And then you know what? Go after it. And let God create it, the one who created it within you, fulfill it within you. And yes, there's headaches along the way, and there's great difficulty. And, you know, many of you who are married and have children, I know he's just not helping enough. But it'd be a little less conflict. There'll still be conflict because he's got a lot to learn. He still wants to play softball 3 nights a week, and he wants to go do this, and he wants to go hunt all the time, and you guys got to have that talk. But I'll tell you what, it'll go much better when you don't deny the God-given desire for motherhood, and you start to dream about and try to embrace what the culture's selling you. And not only are you going to lose yourself in that, it increases the chances of losing your kids. We need God's help, but let Him reveal the desires within you.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.